Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. What should Boston do in the face of a major addiction crisis? One controversial proposal would create supervised consumption sites, or places where people can consume drugs under the supervision of trained staff. Advocates like Paul Bowman of the Boston Users Union say they reduce overdoses and save lives.
People are using wherever there's a place to use, unfortunately. So if we had a safe place, that at least you'd have less of a chance of maybe a really bad outcome.
Critics point out that the evidence of their success is mixed and that these sites are illegal. Here's U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling.
I want everyone to be very clear about this. Not only would it be illegal to open one, but we would pursue enforcement if they did open one.
Boston City Councilor Anissa Esaibi-George, chair of the Committee on Homelessness, Mental Health, and Recovery, is just back from Toronto, where she was looking into their approach to addiction, including supervised consumption sites. She came by Studio 3 earlier today, and she told us why she made the trip.
I went to see the supervised consumption sites, or supervised injection sites for sure, but I went for really an opportunity to explore what are the opportunities that we're missing here in Boston, what's happening in Toronto in comparison to what I saw in Vancouver last year, what I know is happening right now in the city, and how can we improve our ability to care for people who are sick in our city.
When you went to Vancouver, you know, after that visit, you sort of expressed, I don't know if this is the right word, but some disappointment in terms of the relevance of what you saw there for what could be solutions here in Boston. Were they doing something different in Toronto than in Vancouver that you thought held more promise for us here in the greater Boston area?
Yeah, I would say absolutely yes. Two very different systems and two very different ways of delivering care. And what stood out to me the most in Toronto was this very regional and coordinated approach to harm reduction. And the response to in Toronto is no longer just specifically around the opioid crisis, but it's how they're responding to the drug crisis, how they're responding to the needs, the mental health needs of their residents, how they're responding to the need for housing services across their city. And Toronto is a much larger city than Boston. And for me, it's about what are those pieces that we can take and replicate here. And for me, I'm very excited about how we move forward in integrating harm reduction in more of our work across the city and across the region, how we take what might be working in one or two places, expanding that, and doing it in partnership with other cities and towns.
So part of the harm reduction landscape are supervised consumption sites. And you had originally essentially not been in favor of supervised consumption sites. Last time we talked to you before you went to Toronto, you expressed some skepticism about them. Have you changed your thinking on supervised consumption sites as a result of your visit to Toronto?
My position hasn't changed on the supervised consumption sites, but what I do... what I've learned on this trip about that integration of multiple types of services being provided, in whether it's a safe injection site or whether it's throughout any of their other harm reduction programs. In Toronto, they have 9 sites and an additional 50 providers of harm reduction services, and they're all connected. They all do services slightly different so that they could be responsive to the needs of an individual, of someone dealing with substance use disorders. For example, there's one clinic in particular that works very specifically with women, and they're doing work around recovery, but they're also doing work around health issues, around prenatal care if the woman is pregnant, around domestic violence. And that, to me, that specialized, that ability to give that specialized care to individuals that are in crisis is really was very appealing to me. A place that Toronto was missing some opportunities that we do a better job, I think, here in the States and certainly in the Boston area, is access to detox care. We both lack, both in Toronto and in Vancouver and in Boston, we all lack direct access to recovery beds. We know for every 30 individuals that are looking for a recovery bed, we only have one available. That's a huge missing component in this work, and one that we need to make sure that we're focused on as a city and as a state.
You know, in talking, you're focusing really heavily on harm reduction. I'm a little surprised that you didn't come back feeling differently about supervised consumption sites, given the emphasis you're putting on harm reduction, because they, you know, the science shows that they do at least reduce the risk of death from abuse. Let's hear from Cambridge Mayor Mark McGovern, who says that he's supporting creating a supervised consumption site in his own city.
You know, this is about harm reduction. You can't get someone into treatment if they're dead. And I hate to be so crass, but that's what we're talking about here. And there has never been an overdose death in a safe consumption site.
So he, too, cares about harm reduction. He's come to a different conclusion. Right. How do you square that?
Well, I do agree that there isn't any, there are no deaths within safe consumption sites. But in Toronto, one of the things that they're looking at is because they recognize outside of the hours of operation, people are dying outside of safe consumption sites. So they're looking at the need to do this 24 hours a day. They're also looking at the need to expand it to these additional 50 locations to really spread the effort across the region. But one of the other pieces is some of the success they have found in reaching people who are in crisis is the relationship they've built through some of the harm reduction efforts.
We talked to you last time after, before Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone announced that he wanted to do a supervised consumption site in Somerville. You've now been to Toronto. You've talked about this landscape. The landscape seems, the suite of services seems to be the thing that really drew you or impressed you in Toronto. So why cut out this one piece of the solution set, especially when we're seeing mayors in our own area saying, hey, we've come to the conclusion that it's time to do this?
No, well, so where I am and what it is that we need to be doing right now is saving lives today. The process to open a safe consumption site is well down the road. We know what the U.S. attorney feels about that. We know the rules around some of the federal legislation, the federal rules that will govern whether or not these can open. We know that people are dying today in our city. There are pieces of this that we can do today. We think about the millions of dollars that it costs to open one site. I want to invest those in actions that we can do today and tomorrow to save lives. And through harm reduction, through safe needle exchange, through a better distribution of methadone and Suboxone and really providing the mental health services and the housing needs and the other supportive services that individuals who are in crisis need, we can help them find recovery. We need to continue to invest in detox. We have to find a way to create a pipeline of supportive recovery options for individuals dealing with the crisis today. Safe consumption sites are certainly a part of the conversation and they'll continue to be a part of the conversation, but there are things that are happening in Toronto today that we could put into effect tomorrow in the city of Boston and in the region.
Okay, so what's one of the first investments that you think you would want to make? So I'm hearing, what I think I'm hearing from you, let me feed it back to you to make sure I'm here understanding you right. There's an urgency here that makes you want to prioritize now immediate investments that produce immediate returns in harm reduction and death reduction. What are some of the, you know, quick hits? Hey, we could make good investments right away with little, you know, oversight hurdles or that kind of thing that you think the city needs to do next?
Well, I think it's first making sure that all of our work is coordinated in its approach, that we have enough recovery beds. We need 2,500 recovery beds. We can do a few of these immediately. We can't do all 2,500 in the very near future, but that has to be a working goal. That has to be part of the checklist that every single day we're looking at each other and saying, how many new recovery beds are available for individuals who are looking for them? And it's also about getting naloxone into more hands and more a more thoughtful approach around educating individuals on how to use naloxone, to if you are dealing with substance use disorder, to not use alone. And in Toronto, they've done a very, very directed public awareness and public education campaign around not using alone. And some of the data that I received that, you know, I got in last night at midnight, so I don't have it at my fingertips. The response for our local EMS in Boston, we've responded to say 3,800, almost 4,000 overdose calls, not deaths, but overdose calls. In Toronto, a population that is 2.4 million compared to Boston's, you know, 650, 700,000 population, they've received only several hundred calls for overdose because naloxone is in their communities across the city, across the entire region. And, you know, it is a much larger city than Boston is. So when we think about this regional approach, it's about public education, it's about naloxone in everyone's hands, and it's really about recovery beds. So we have detox on demand. We can get folks into detox. It's getting them into those step-down and longer treatment beds that we can really see some critical gains in fighting this opioid epidemic.
Why don't we have more naloxone on the ground now when it has such a strong impact on people who are suffering from addiction?
Well, I think there's still a lot of fear and stigma associated with carrying naloxone, picking it up at your pharmacy, getting it from maybe our one or two or small handful of places where we can get it. And that's part of harm reduction. All of these sites across Toronto, all almost 60 of them that are doing this work very actively, are giving out naloxone. It is in everyone's hands in Toronto. You know, we need to get naloxone into more hands. We need to do a lot more education around about not using alone. We need to make sure that we've got a coordinated response and integrated approach to this work, and that anyone dealing with substance use disorders has an active community in which to engage to access resources. And that's, I think, the bigger picture of harm reduction. And it really has to be, it has to be happening in so many more places than just here or there, just in a few places in the city of Boston. It has to be widespread, again, across the greater Boston region.
This is a regional issue, as you just said. How do you bring all the necessary players to the table in a meaningful way to address regional strategies to addiction right now?
I'd say that's my charge. That's what I've come home with. And I think that's the task at my hand as an elected official, as the chair of the Committee on Homelessness, Mental Health and Recovery. This is the work that's left for me now.
Boston City Councilor Anissa Esaibi-George. She is the chair of the Committee on Homelessness, Mental Health and Recovery. Thanks so much for coming to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up in these final days of summer, what's the one book we should be reading? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.